Sonnet 20, my favourite Shakespeare piece. Oh, the best from the 19th century, The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe, a masterpiece. Oh, hello. I didn't quite see you there. My name's Sean, and welcome to Try and Maybe Succeed. I'm afraid you caught me as I was reading a collection of great poems. Oh, it's O Captain by Walt Whitman. How profound. Oh, and here's Ode to a Nightingale. John Keats, you romantic you. You know, a lot of people ask me, Sean, how do you know so much about poetry? And, well, the truth is, I don't! I haven't the slightest clue of the workings of poetry. In fact, the only poet I know remotely is John Cooper Clarke.
The bloody cup's a bloody king, bloody keep it bloody clean. Bloody cheats a bloody swine, bloody drug, a bloody lie. A bloody fun and bloody game, the bloody kids in bloody blame. Nowhere to be bloody found, anywhere in Chicken Town.
But I do know, however, that poetry is a creative art and has produced some of the greatest literary work of all time. Yes, on this episode of Try and Maybe Succeed, I learn about the workings of poems and what inspires people to write them. I also see if I myself can write a poem worthy of being read out on stage live. But first, it's time to let Richard know. Richard, guess what I'm going to do?
What is it now, Sean?
Well, you know, last time I successfully ran that marathon.
You say successfully, you did it, but you didn't get out of bed for 3 days afterwards. What are you doing now?
I've decided I'm going to do a poetry challenge.
You're going to do a poetry challenge? What does that mean?
I'm going to write a poem.
Why poetry, Sean? You've never really expressed any interest in poetry before.
I'm always very literate. Well, I think I never really paid attention in school with all like the Shakespearean and modern poets around, and it's something that's been around for centuries. I thought, delve into it, and also it doesn't do any of my muscles any harm.
No, I mean, it, you know, tests your mouth muscles out, but then they're pretty strong anyway from the amount you talk.
It'll be fine. I could be the next poetic genius. I just never actually put my thoughts on paper.
No, I guess
not. I think
maybe
that's what the world's waiting for.
What's your poem going to be about, Sean?
I'm going to find out later on. No, well, I talked to a few people about it, but I think soon enough, as long as I get my kind of experiences down with some perfect terminology, I reckon I could be able to properly express myself in the way a lot of other people do.
What, you think poetry is the way forward in terms of expressing how you really feel?
Well, it's always been the kind of key factor people have been doing for centuries, and I'm thinking,
well, you know, the trenches in World War One, that's how they kind of got across the horrificness of war, through poetry.
Through poetry, just expressing it through terminology. I mean, sometimes it'd be subtle, sometimes it'd be like clear to understand.
But the best poetry is stuff that makes you think. It has a hidden meaning behind the words.
Hidden meaning?
Yeah, hidden meaning.
You know,
that's not, you know, a poem isn't always incredibly literal, isn't it? It's not like, I went to the shops, I bought a banana. You know, it could be, I went on a faraway journey for some nutritional
value. Oh, they're those ones, but you're pondering those for days. I mean, I might do that.
But those are the best poets, like Keats.
You say that, Shelley. But I actually remember I did step into poetry once. Remember my one I did about my last day at job?
Yeah, that stupid little ditty you made up on your last day of work.
It's not a stupid one, is it?
It's a bit stupid.
It's not stupid. Still, I express myself.
You've proved to the world with that you know how to rhyme.
Look, I'll make something intellectual, I swear to you, but listen, do you actually think there's any like pros or cons of me doing this?
Well, of course not. I mean, obviously it depends on what your poem is about, really. I mean, if it's some kind of subject matter that you don't really want to think about or you don't want to breach, in one way it might be bad for your mental well-being, but in the other sense it might be quite good. It might be able to get your, you know, things that you can't express verbally for to other people, you might be able to get down in the poetry form. So it might be quite good.
I mean, I never actually knew how to kind of go into this, because obviously it's like too late for year 9 where you go into English and you learn about the Shakespeare sonnets.
If you only started studying English in year 9, that explains a lot.
Not even going to respond to that.
I don't think you've got the mental capacity to respond to it, sure.
I am going to respond to that. I did start, I don't remember when, probably at the right time.
Probably at the right time. Can't say for definite yes or no.
Oh, why do I have to put definite answers on everything? No, but I was quite kind of thinking, how am I going to go into this? Because, like, I can't just make something rhyme and expect that.
Well, not all poems rhyme, Sean. They don't. Not all poems have rhyming couplets.
See, that's the thing. It's so vast. There's no, like, one...
Well, that's the same with any form of art, isn't it? There's no clear boundaries. It's not as black and white as a poem is something that, you know, like, that rhymes. It's the same with a piece of music isn't something that has a verse, chorus, verse, chorus. You're looking at things a bit too literally, if that's what you think.
No, sometimes they're the more popular ones, but I do see where you're coming from, and that's why I kind of thought I had to speak to someone.
Hello there, John.
Hello, Sean.
How are you today?
I was actually lucky enough to get the opportunity to speak to the author and poet John O'Donoghue about the subject.
My name's John O'Donoghue. I've been trying to write poetry seriously since I was 14. That's a good number of years now, Sean. That's over 40 years. Some of my works include a book of poems called Brunch Poems. There's a book called Fools and Mad. So those are my books of poetry. I have one called The Beach Generation. So The Beach Generation is 25 poems dedicated to poets I know in Brighton. We're crawling with poets down here, Sean. I wrote another little pamphlet then called Letter to Lord Rochester. And then, Sean, you may know I wrote a memoir, a prose memoir, called Stay Life Interrupted. That tells you everything about it. Mm. I became unwell, first of all, when I was 16, and the memoir covers my life from the age of 16 to about 30, when I sort of got off the psychiatric merry-go-round and went to university. I swapped one set of institutions for another. Those old asylums, they were very similar to universities in many ways, Sean, set in big grassy parklands, big buildings, hierarchies, eccentric people. So you're probably very familiar with all this, Sean.
It's hard to differ.
John O'Donoghue.
Yeah.
Really.
You don't have to be so I spoke to him here, about loads of subjects.
Oh, yeah.
So poetry, tell me, as someone who's never really delved into it, how can this be expressive? How can I use poetry to express emotions, moods, or anything?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Sean. I think poetry has a focus, shall we say, on emotion. Perhaps literature in general does. If you think of most of daily lives, it's very kind of neutral emotionally. It's very in the middle. We sort of get on with our colleagues, our friends, and we operate on a narrow emotional spectrum. What happens when these big emotional events come into our lives? What about that? It seems literature covers some of that. Poetry is particularly, I think, a distillation of, shall we say, this kind of area of experience. They say about poetry, in terms of it being different from other literary forms, that it has to be inspired. A poet must be inspired to write a poem. That's the kind of conventional view of things. So if you look at the etymology of inspiration, it means to breathe in. The poet sort of takes in breath, or are breathed upon by the muse. So this idea of breath, I think, can be quite important, actually, because if you think of emotions and breath, the two kind of go together. For instance, if you think of anger, when people are angry, they tend to say things like, "You can't talk to me like that." Or at least they do on EastEnders. So they have this kind of staccato rhythm. Perhaps when they're sad, there's the sob. "I can't take it anymore." And when they're excited, they seem to gabble all at once. They can talk very fast and they go like that. So this idea that each emotion has a kind of cadence or a rhythm, I think that's very much at the heart of poetry. So I think poetry is well poised to express these emotions. Of course, famously, it's connected with love. Where would we be without love poetry? So that's my little take on, shall we say, what poetry can do, what it's there to do, how it differs from other forms. Look at the local papers all the time, Sean. People who are not poets, who wouldn't even consider themselves to be poets, when someone has died they're very close to, they will craft a little verse. They will put it in the local paper. They may even write a poem for when their child is born. They might write a poem that gets read at a wedding to their spouse. It seems that at these big moments, like I say, these big emotional moments in people's lives, when you're hatched, matched, dispatched, shall we say, poetry still has a role. People still think about it, still reach for it. It's a form of expression that seems to be universal. It really hasn't gone away. I think poets are able to kind of reflect on situations and to make work which expresses perhaps something deeper than maybe a journalist's response. A journalist would give the very first kind of, shall we say, notice of what's gone on and maybe want to get the facts down and want to get the story straight. I think what happens is, I think poetry very often comes into a person's life when they're in their formative years, when they're an adolescent, shall we say, when they're a teenager, somewhere between maybe 14 and 20, and then they sort of start applying themselves seriously to, shall we say, the craft. So I think it has this element of, shall we say, the private and the kind of almost the secret. It's almost like a secret discipline. I suppose the thing with poetry is when you're starting off, A, it's very cheap, and B, it can be a great boon to adolescence. Adolescence is that time when great changes can take place in your life, in your mentality. So poetry is a way of having a kind of place where, if you like, dimensions within oneself can be opened out and explored, and you can do it privately and secretly. So I think poetry is something you can start off very small with. You don't need a lot of outlay. You don't need really someone to teach you much. You can get learn a few basics, as it were, look around, work away at it, and then it can become quite a social scene then, particularly these days. And whether or not you achieve fame and glory, I think for a lot of people it doesn't really matter. I think poetry offers people this way to explore this possibly sometimes troubled inner life and to work things out a bit.
So he spoke to me, gave me a lot of advice. He kind of taught me stuff like, it's very expressive, and apparently your own experience comes into it.
Oh, okay.
And by forming your own experience, it kind of has like a literature, like a kind of portrait of that experience.
It's like a mirror.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So you kind of express yourself, but with those certain words.
Yeah.
Rather than writing something that you perhaps haven't experienced, because it's quite hard putting your feet in like someone else's boots. And, it doesn't end there.
Doesn't it?
No, you thought I was...
Never does end there, does it, with you, Sean?
No, it doesn't, because there's always a big finale.
What's the big finale?
Oh, well, I'm not just going to write the poem. I'm going to take it to the stage.
Take it to the stage? Not, what are you talking
not
about?
Not like the West End, no, it's not that.
Oh, you're going to go to a poetry recital?
I'm going to get on stage at a poetry recital and read it out to everyone to hear.
Oh, everyone to hear. Well, that sounds good. Have you ever done anything like this before?
What, you mean go on stage?
Well, yeah, in front of a, you know, captive audience that could potentially call you a knob.
I don't think they'll call me a knob. I think they'll call me a blooming genius. No, it's the first time I'm going to be taken to the stage since school.
What did you do at school?
I was in a nativity play.
What did you play? What was your role?
I was a shepherd. I was a good shepherd.
Do you have any lines?
Pardon?
Do you have any lines?
No, I think I just stood there with a wooden goat.
Your memory isn't really suited to acting, is it, Sean? Well, not like in, you know, you could play Jaws in James Bond.
Oh, Jesus. Look, I'm going to be taken to the stage.
Yes.
The first time in ages. And you and your band, you've been on the stage quite a lot, so you're kind of fine with the whole mentality of actually performing.
You never get completely comfortable with it, but it gets easier.
But I'm going on my own, though.
Yeah, that's different. I don't know if I could do that. At least when you're in a band, there's three or four other people around you to soak up the pressure, you might say.
What do you reckon I'm going to feel when they call my name out?
You'll probably feel fairly nervous leading up to it, I would have thought. And then when they call your name out, you'll probably feel really, really nervous. Obviously it's different for everybody, but I mean, depending on how you cope with your nerves and stuff, when you start walking towards the stage, you might be a little bit shaky on stage, like your leg might be, you might get like a little bit of a twitch in your
Elvis
leg.
Elvis leg?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I remember when I first started doing that, I used to get a bit twitchy on stage. Because, you know, you've got a whole room of people watching you and essentially judging you. So, yeah, I mean, you'll probably feel a bit nervous, but obviously if you're really committed to your poem and you know, whatever you've written you're really involved with and invested in, then you probably won't be as nervous as you would if you knew it was a bit rubbish.
Don't want to lose the audience, so I'll open with a joke.
Open, well, I mean, you that's your kind of motto in life.
But I've already found the location. It's in a... Covent Gardens.
Covent Garden.
Yeah, it's a quite reasonably titled...
What's the place called?
Quite reasonably titled Poetry Cafe.
It's just called the Poetry Cafe.
Poetry Cafe.
That's very apt, isn't it?
And, well, obviously I found it holds like 80 people.
80 people, wow, that's quite a few for your first thing. What is this, an open mic sort of deal?
Yeah, or? Thursday they do open mic nights. They do kind of a range of things like a kind of artistic music performances, poetry readings, and like some actual established poets.
Wow.
Yeah, because I went there a few days ago down in Covent Garden, and I just got to speak to Alicia.
My name is Alyssa Francisco, and I co-run the Poetry Cafe.
She runs the place, and it's actually part of the Poetry Society.
That's really good.
Poetry Cafe is a, you know, it's a community arts space that's here in Covent Garden to support poetry, literature, spoken word, theater, and we are part of the UK's Poetry Society. So they are our overarching charity that supports that, the work that we're able to do and the groups that then in turn we're able to support. So youth groups or other community groups and performance arts that might not have the funding to put on events anywhere else in the city.
And what events do you hold here at the Poetry Cafe?
Yeah, in the Poetry Cafe we have loads. Open mic, nights with featured readers, book launches, slams, spoken word, music, music and poetry, all types of events like that.
That's good, sounds like quite a mix. What do you actually think makes a Poetry Cafe appealing to your audience?
I think there's a few things, because our audience is really wide-ranging. So we have people that come into the cafe and to the events from all ages, all parts of the cities, all different interests. So I think, on the one hand, what makes it appealing to the people who come here is that during the day we're a really quiet, relaxed, warm, welcoming cafe where people can come and get their work done or work on a creative project or have a meeting. And then at night, six nights a week, we're booked out with loads of different events. I think what's quite cool is that you can come on Tuesday and go to a really busy Poetry Unplugged, which is 100% open mic, but then you might be able to come 2 days later and listen to Italian music and spoken word, you know. So I think that's what makes it cool, is that you can always pop in and there's something else happening.
I think that's what's cool. You could just have a casual coffee and out of the blue something creative could come up that really just pops and strikes your interest. And another thing I'm thinking about is, how important is poetry to your audience? How much of a staple is it to their lives?
Yeah, it's seemingly a massive, massive part. I mean, like, the passion that walks through these doors is wild. I get emails of people's poetry. Sometimes I get calls where there'll be no introduction and someone will just start reading a piece of poetry, either their own or someone else's. We get them sometimes left on our voicemail. So I think that poetry is like a really key component of the people's lives who use the space and benefit from the space. It seems to be an outlet, a means of expression, and also just passion, either for those who are working in the field or for just people who enjoy doing it on the side of whatever else they do in their lives.
I love the fact they'll just call you, and I just imagine you have like a little signal, like, hello, hello, and you think it's some sort of cold caller, and they say, it was the midst of summer, like, what?
No, that happens. I mean, things like that actually have happened, or you'll get emails of people's poetry, or people want to know what I think about their poems, and, you know, my expertise is running the cafe in that way, so there's other resources for them through the Poetry Society, but it's definitely a place, I think, that's full of passion and full of life for poetry and for spoken word.
It seems like it's something that drives a lot of regulars to come back and forth, so mm-hmm. You always have that core following. Do you ever surprise yourself and like attract a new audience, people who've had very little interest in poetry and automatically they've struck up an interest?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's what's great about the different events that we run, is that they'll bring in an audience that maybe is more here for music or more here for art, and then they pick up a program of the month and think, oh, actually, I'd like to come check that out, or actually, I've had a piece I've wanted to read for a long time and I never knew that there'd be, you know, a welcoming enough or relaxed enough venue where I could do that. So I think in that way it's really great. I mean, because like if you look at the exhibition we have up now, the art exhibition is from Middlesex University, and we do at least one of theirs a year, and this is their second one this year. And so it brings in, at least even from that, you know, students who might never have known about the space or didn't previously, you know that they could express themselves in that way or gather, you know, for that purpose, and then they come here and realize that they can. So I think there's a lot of different events that pull people in for different reasons, and then they come back for something else that maybe they didn't intend originally.
Now, there are professional poets and uprising amateur poets who have spent their lives researching language, literature, known the best ways to put words together to describe a theme or basically emotion. I'm just wondering, in my point of view, can someone like me, who's never even written any proper poetry, like anyone at all, can they just kind of get into it, poetry? Is it just like on the top of your tongue? Can you just do it?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's the one, you know, amazing thing about poetry is that it's really there for anybody at any level to engage with. Because you could come, and even if you just want to get comfortable with reading, you could read somebody else's piece, you know, to get you started off. But I think poetry for all people, be them professional or, you know, linguist or, you know, scholar or whatever. I mean, I feel like poetry is something that's always a work in progression, regardless of how long you've been doing it. And so that means that kind of anybody at whatever point in their life or their career they're in can come and start that journey. So I think in that way it's something that's maybe more accessible than, than music or theater or something that you might need a lot of practice in or experience in. Learning an instrument or something like that with poetry, it's literally your voice and it's your words and it's your thoughts. And I think that that's an ongoing creative process for everybody.
What tips would you give someone like me who's just starting to write, trying to write their first poem? What tips are there, if there are any?
I think there's a lot of tips. I mean, of course, you could read a book of poetry that's maybe a book of a bunch of different poets to just make it a little bit more well-rounded, because there's some styles that you're going to resonate with and others that you're not. And so that way you can see, this is poetry. Oh, well, that's poetry too. Like, I think, you know, it's a term and it's an art form that encompasses so much more than people know. You know, it doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't have to have a certain amount of lines. It can be so many different things. I would say one thing would be just to start reading other people's work. And then the other thing that would be great is to come to an event, especially one where maybe there's a mix of open mic but also featured readers. So you're getting, you know, the experience of both maybe first-time readers or kind of like random or starting out, and then you're also getting professional readers and people who've had a lot of experience. And so you can have all that in the course of just a two-hour event. And I think with that, then you just never know what's going to spark within you. Say, I really like how she did that. I really like how those things went together. And sometimes I think hearing poetry can really change how you would go about writing it, because a lot of things can be translated when you're listening to something versus when you're just reading it.
Yeah, so at least like it's kind of legit form, like in London, kind of formed like the best place to kind of start.
Yeah, well, I guess you're not going to some back alley poetry club where they could be very horrible. At least you know you're going to go to somewhere that people are going to be receptive just for the fact that you're there and you're doing it and you've tried and you've put the effort in.
I will, but I think it also adds another element of how serious it kind of is, because it's this poetry society.
But I mean, it depends on the crowd, doesn't it, really? Like, if it's an open mic night, it should be, in theory, it should be quite a welcoming audience because they're inviting people to come on the stage. It's not like that you've been booked and paid by someone to do something, so people are expecting a high standard. You know, an open mic is quite good because there's always a low level of expectation anyway, because it's, you know, you're self-invited onto the stage, aren't you, really? Mm. So, but, you know, you'll probably get a lot of respect from the people there just for merely turning up and doing it.
Yeah.
Even if the poem is terrible.
What do you reckon kind of the place would kind of be like? What do you reckon they kind of offer?
I have no idea. I've never really been to a poetry evening, Sean. I can just imagine there's a load of tables and chairs and candles in the middle of them.
But I'll actually shock you to let you know that I've actually started writing my poem.
Oh, have you? May I hear some?
You may hear some.
What's the first line?
That's it. It's a question of sanity. The doors are locked on reality. It's a question of sanity. Your mind has wandered out to sea. That's kind of the first.
That sounds good as a start.
Well, anyway, I've got the rest of the week to finish it and get prepared before I hit the stage.
Well, all I can say is good luck with that. I hope that the crowd don't turn on you. Although, that would be quite amusing. I look forward to hearing the audio. When is it?
This Thursday.
This Thursday. Oh, I think I'm busy.
What?
I think I'm busy. I would come. You know, I'd love to come, but unfortunately, got something on.
Every time.
I know. Just too busy all the time. Literally all the time.
What are you doing?
Just stuff.
Stuff.
Well, it's not really any of your business, so I'd appreciate it if you didn't start poking your nose in.
I'm really sorry to ask you that, actually.
Well, I mean, that's okay. Don't worry about it.
I'll film it and I'll be able to put it online so some people will be able to see. So
I'm sure I will get round to watching it, I'm sure. When I find a spare moment.
Spare moment.
Yeah, they're fleeting though, aren't they?
Your busy schedule. You do a lot of private stuff because you never tell me about
it. I do, you're right. I've got a lot of work on at the moment.
Fair enough. Anyway, I'll let you know how the poetry goes.
Good luck, Sean, and I hope it goes very well.
Please welcome the first of our remaining Poetry Unplugged virgins. Please welcome Sean Olson.
Is there any way to conquer any, like, a feared stage when you're reading a poem, or should you just, like, bam, read out? Is there any stage fright that comes with reading poetry? Because it's very soul-revealing.
No, seriously, the thing to do is to take it nice and slow. Remember, people are hearing this. I think with your poem, just take it nice and slow and get right on top of the breath. When you stand on stage, the heart will be pumping, the adrenaline will be going, this thing back to breath again. Let that ride out. Maybe talk to the audience to begin with, introduce yourself, introduce the poem, and then that will get your breath back to some kind of regularity, and then you'll be able to go really good, really smooth, really fine with it. And best of luck.
This is the first time I've been in the spotlight since I played the shepherd in a nativity play, so I will try to upstage that performance. This is the first one. It's a question of sanity. The doors are locked on reality. I bet you once thought like me. Now your mind's gone out to sea. The days are long, the sun's a stranger. The night is scary, the moon spells danger. Everything seemed fine, but the warnings I read. Then after one try, I felt nothing but dread. The grass doesn't turn blue, the sky doesn't turn green. All there are demons taunting me. A passerby catches my eye, but too many thoughts are sung. The glass is shattered, the tigers broke free. My senses feel high, but my mind's either lost or free. It's the question of sanity. Can I find me?
Oh, look who it is. It's John Cooper Clarke, back from the poetry night. How did it go?
It went absolutely fantastic.
Oh, really? I saw the video you posted. The poem actually turned out all right. I didn't think you had it in you to actually write that many sentences that had rhyming couplets in them.
I thought it actually sounds good, though.
It is good. It makes sense. It's, you know, it's reflective. It's, you know, ticks all the boxes for a good poem, as far as I'm aware of.
Everyone liked it. It was kind of a bit deep. Like, as you said, had kind of a hidden meaning.
Yeah.
And I thought it kind of met with everyone's expectations, and it was packed, very packed.
How packed?
Crammed against a toilet wall.
Is that because they knew you were going to be there?
Oh, probably.
Probably. Well, queuing actually, around the block. For your first attempt, that's very good.
But I went up there. I think kind of the joke actually worked, no matter what you said.
You didn't do the joke, did you? The joke's terrible.
They liked it. It kind of broke the ice.
I reckon they were laughing to save your blushes.
Oh, God, I didn't go that red, no matter what. We can watch a film, it's the lighting.
It's the lighting, man.
That's what I said. And they loved it, and I got some spare time at the end, so I thought, why not dust off the old...
No, you didn't do your silly zoo poem, did you?
That's good, not even a minute. The next one I got because I remember it from my head. It was written on one of the best days of my life, best days of most people's lives. The last day of a terrible job. This is called A Customer Says. I was working one day making coffees and teas when a woman came up and started to plead. Excuse me, can you help? I'm all out of luck. I was stung by a wasp as I stood by the ducts. I looked at her face. She was stung pretty bad. If anyone ignored her, they're probably quite mad. But I remember my payslip and how little I got. So I looked at her face and said, so what? She looked at me shocked. What do you mean, what? I've been stung by a wasp. And you saying that has got me quite cross. She stared at me angry, but I wasn't scared. And although I should, I just didn't care. At the peak of her rage, she started to yell. My face hurts like hell. I can't take this, I yell. I've paid such a huge transaction for such a poor attraction. After all that, she broke down and cried. I can't take this much. Can't you sympathise with my luck? I looked in her eyes and said, I don't give a fuck. Thank you very much. They loved it.
What? Some people, man.
It sums up everyone's expression of a last day at work.
No, it doesn't.
I think it's a piece of beauty.
You wrote it
in a comedic fashion, I feel.
How can you think that something you've done is a piece of beauty?
Because it's got my kind of name on it and it adds originality and kind of...
Sorry, you think that by putting your name on something it adds originality? So if I...